If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust alongside Kelly Krall, Tony Andracki, and Matt Buckman. I am John Graff. Now, we could start with Anthony Rizzo's 13-pitch at-bat that led to a walk. We could talk about Anthony Rizzo's game-winning walk. We could talk about Jason Hayward's two-out, two-run single that broke a no-hitter. We could talk about Drew Smyly coming back. We could talk about Yu Darvish on the mend. Chris Bryant saying it was pain-free. David Bodie's golden home run. Or we could talk about that Cole Hamels has two appearances for the Cubs with nine strikeouts. That's more than any other Cubs starter this season. But why don't we start with Tony Andracki, who covered all this stuff this weekend. What is the thing that you want to talk about most from this weekend?
Oh, man, that's not even a question. I think David Bodie's what any sports fan and wants to talk about. And honestly, I've seen so many people on Twitter that I follow that are not even sports fans that have reacted to it and said, like, how fun it is and how cool it looks. And I mean, even my sister, who doesn't follow any of this, knew what happened somehow. So it really is just like this moment that is the excitement, the fun of it all has transcended sports. And it's something that, I mean, it has to go up there in top five, maybe even top three Cubs moments I've seen in my time covering them.
Our buddy Danny Parkins had one of the best tweets of this whole thing. It's a great photo of Bill Murray and David Bodie looking at each other on the field, and our Kelly Krall is in the background smiling and enjoying the moment. And Danny Parkins tweets, you need to find someone along the lines that looks at Kelly Krall looking at David Bodie looking at Bill Murray. So I thought that was a really sweet moment on the field. What was your moment being there on the field?
Well, bounce off of what Tony is saying, I think the reason this resonates with so many fans who maybe are not necessarily your diehard Cubs fans is because David Bodie, it feels like he's just your every other day buddy, that you're your average Joe that's made this incredible moment for himself happen and for all of these fans. And you gravitate to people like David Bodie. He has an infectious smile. He's just gracious with his time. He's an incredible human being beyond the baseball player that he's now showing everybody how great he is as well. And his story, John, I know you'll get into his story, is one of those of a guy who really was for 4 years in single A ball, almost gave it up twice if it wasn't for his wife, like, pushing him along as he finally got into double A ball, spent 7 years in the minors before he got this opportunity with the Cubs this season. And I think that photo of me in the background, because I've had some fans come after me as though I'm biased about this. And the truth of the matter is,
a lot of smile.
I felt joy, and I almost felt this sense of being proud of this person who worked so hard at something, and in that moment, it paid off, and in a huge way, and he got to come through in the clutch, and that moment will never be lost on David Bodie. That will forever be something he remembers forever and ever. And he was speechless last night. I saw the tears coming to his eyes as we were talking. And those are the athletes that you just really, you love telling their story because it's special.
And Matt, the tears were coming to your eyes too last night.
Oh, they were flowing big time. They were flowing. I think my biggest takeaway from that whole thing, we've heard all year that the Cubs farm system is empty. And growing up a Cubs fan, there were a lot of years where the Cubs farm system was not producing professional baseball athletes. You'd hear about the Felix Pias, Corey Patterson, all these names, they'd come up and then they'd kind of struggle and then they never really did much. But I don't think this current system will ever be truly empty. I think we have such a strong system right now, such strong instructors. You know, there's kind of the whatever Theo calls it, the Bible that has been fed throughout the system. And there's good guys down there, and it will never be empty. There, people are getting prepared to come up to the big leagues and actually perform, and David Bodie is the perfect example of that.
Tony, should we look at some prisoner of the moment analysis? Is David Bodie cementing himself as a guy who should be A, on the playoff roster, B, in a key pinch hitting role down the stretch, seeing as how he learned all the stuff that he talked about yesterday from Tommy La Stella? Or does he have a place even higher up on this team right now? Or should we just chill out with these 100 at-bats that he's had?
Oh, man, I don't even have to answer that myself. I'll let Joe Maddon answer that for you. He's already talking about getting David Bodie time in the outfield in spring training next year. Mm-hmm. This guy's not going anywhere. He's a part of the future, and he might not be a part of, like, the inside core the way, you know, Bryant and Javi are, but, I mean, Bodie's going to be on the outside, and he's definitely vaulted some guys in this system right now in terms of, you know, being under control for a long time, being able to play anywhere in the diamond. He's even pitched 7 innings in the minor leagues as well. He's played everywhere but catcher and center field, so this guy's going to be a huge part of their future moving forward, and everybody asked if it's legit, and I mean, to some extent, it is legit. He's not going to have a 1,000 OPS and hit 340 for the rest of his big league career, but he works great at bats, he has a great approach, and he has this elite exit velocity, plus he's a great base runner and an elite defender. So, I mean, this guy is not going anywhere.
All right, so Kelly, 5 games of separation from the Brewers in the loss column. They separated the Nationals from playoff contention for at least another couple days because they could easily have been swept. What is the other next biggest thing you take away from this 3-game stretch against the Nationals from all the storylines that are in abundance in this Cubs nation?
Yeah, well, I'm glad we can put the Madden A-Rod stuff behind us, right? Just kidding. That's a joke. Who knows what the next chapter in that is? No, I think you take away what we've been talking about and the offense and the resilience of this team. The offense still isn't clicking on all cylinders. The defense is still very solid. That's where Joe has talked about part of them winning some games is coming from that area or that side of the ball, but I still think you have to look at it, what we saw from a pitching standpoint, and I think as someone who's in there every day, you have to be a little, I don't know if concerned is the right word as a fan, but you certainly have to have a keen eye on John Lester right now and what's going on.
He sucks right now.
I'm curious to know what Tony thinks. It's bizarre that we have him standing up there telling us he doesn't feel different. We have Maddon telling us he doesn't see anything different. We're looking at the numbers. His velo's still there. He's telling us he's healthy. But to hear him say he's just not putting guys away when he should, or he's not executing the right pitch when he's trying to, that is worrisome from a guy who has the experience that John Lester has. Now, I think he'll figure it out because he always has, and that's why he's still as good as he is this late in his career. But Tony, did that not sit a little uneasy for you? Like, isn't it strange that there's not a better explanation for what's going on with John Lester right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is strange, but I think Lester actually clued us in earlier in the season. He was talking about, I know, Kelly, you and I talked about it after, when he's 34 and he's not the same pitcher he was even in 2016. I think that's just the answer. He's you know, getting the lowest swinging strike percentage of his career, the lowest strikeout percentage of his career, highest walk percentage, giving up the hardest velocity. I mean, you can go through all of these numbers. And it just, unfortunately, everybody who predicted that Lester's first half and his first 17 starts of the season were good luck. And now, I mean, the regression monster has come back for him. And everybody was correct when they predicted that as well. So it's definitely a concern. The main concern is the fact that if Lester is healthy and his velocity is there, like you just mentioned, and this is still happening, and this has been happening for 5-6 weeks now, who knows how it turns around? He's been a little unlucky in this stretch, but he hasn't been so, like, egregiously unlucky that you're like, okay, this will turn eventually. So I'm not sure what's going to happen from here with it, but definitely something worth keeping an eye on over the next, you know, 6-7 weeks here.
So what? You look at it, and it's like you believe, I think most people do, the offense will find a way to come together. The defense is there. The bullpen has proven they're one of the better ones. Your biggest question mark right now is you hit what's supposed to be the back end of August and your best stretch going into September. You don't know what the rotation is still. You don't know when Yu Darvish is coming back. Is Cole Hamels right now your best pitcher? I mean, There's just a lot of question marks for mid-August.
Hendricks looked very good on Friday, so I was happy with that. And what you were saying about Lester and, like, who knows what's really going on with him right now, I'll just say this. When he throws a 3-2 ball in the first inning to Ryan Zimmerman and that ball still hasn't landed yet, when it's 55 degrees in October and John Lester's throwing that ball, that's a warning track out. So I'm hoping that by the time we get to October, Lester's relaxed, comfortable, and back to being, you know, the wily veteran that he is, and maybe that will work everything out. John Lester in August is not an ideal situation because he's not blowing the ball past people. But I think the Cole Hamels factor for me is the thing that I am most excited about right now. I feel real comfortable handing him the ball. I mean, what, he's allowed 2 runs since he's joined the Cubs? It's crazy to see how good he's been since he's gotten here.
He's been very good. He's been very good, and he's been everything Theo and Jed could have imagined. I just like, and I'm sure Tony can attest to this, I just like what we're also hearing from him and sensing from him from an energy standpoint. You really get the sense that this guy has been completely re-energized and rejuvenated,
motivated,
coming back over here, and to go toe-to-toe with Max Scherzer last night, or I guess when we're taping this, having gone just toe-to-toe with Max Scherzer was really great to watch. It was exciting, and I think he felt that under the lights, big stage, big moment, a game that really mattered, and he came through, and that's, I think, for Cubs fans, that should be a huge positive.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but the next most important thing of the weekend was Chris Bryant saying his shoulder was pain-free. How important is Chris Bryant's health to this whole situation and just the way that you think about the Cubs lineup going forward?
It's hugely important. Think about how the lineup looked against Scherzer yesterday. I mean, there's going to be more pitchers like Scherzer in the playoffs. And the Bryant, we can't forget, he was the MVP in 2016. He's an elite hitter. And your lineup is better with Bryant in the lineup.
So when Bryant goes back to third base, how does Joe move this around, Tony? If you were Joe Maddon, how would you move things around as the team is presently constituted?
I think that's easy. I think Javi's at short, Addy's on the bench, and David Bodie's playing second base.
Yep.
That's exactly.
Totally agree.
And
that's
Ben's
where my head is
too.
I mean, Tony and I were talking about this the other day. It's not that Addison is just not doing, and from a defensive standpoint, he's still very solid there, but right now at the plate, he is not bringing enough production for Joe to feel like he can pencil him in, I don't think.
Before we get on out of here, let's get back to some of the fun of David Bodie, as if we haven't talked enough about him. But you guys have seen some great moments in person. The way that Wrigley was rocking when he hit that grand slam, was this a playoff level eruption of fan excitement?
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, I mean, I wasn't watching it.
Without a doubt. Tony, I felt like this was the loudest we've heard since 2016. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the way Wrigley was rocking, the energy, everything else that came just in addition to the volume, the only thing I can compare it to at Wrigley was Miguel Montero's grand slam in game one of the NLCS against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are like the two closest moments that I can compare in my head.
I can tell you it was really loud in my house. But
was your cat making some noise?
When they were running from me as I was running around screaming. But that was the most excited I've been in a long time.
And just even I think of the day after, as much as we're hearing this be discussed, whether you're in the coffee shop or you're listening to sports radio or whatever, this felt like, and it felt like that, Tony, I thought from the very beginning. I think the fact that it was a night game, it was against Max Scherzer, it was a tight game all the way into the eighth inning.
Is that the end of a great sports day where Tiger was around?
Yeah.
So people were jacked up
for
sports.
There you go.
Sure.
It had that vibe to it, and then for it to finish the way it did was, it was very playoff-esque.
Ish.
And 16-ish.
And it was just kind of funny, too, when I was looking back at everything and thinking of all the moments before that happened. I mean, Bodie was such a huge topic of conversation before the game, and he wasn't even in the lineup. I mean, I remember, Kelly, you and I were standing there, and he came up all sweaty because he had just taken ground balls from Brian Butterfield with 4 other kids of his teammates and coaches out there. So
you say
David
kids,
Bodie,
you're talking about 4-year-olds, right?
Kids. Yeah, well, exactly. So they were all just taking ground balls, and that's what he did on his quote-unquote day off.
Mm-hmm. He's the type of guy, too. I mean, Tony can attest to this. He is right now, and Tony, I don't know how you phrase this. I don't want to say that he has gotten used to being the big leaguer yet, but he is the one guy who walks into the clubhouse still every day and basically walks right up to the media and is like, hey, everybody, how are we doing today? With a big old smile on his face. There's a little bit of David Ross to him, is there not, Tony? Like, in the sense of how conversational he is with the media?
Yeah, exactly. I've never really been around an athlete that friendly with the media to begin with. But, I mean, that maybe that speaks to why in spring training David Ross was the one who felt like he had to go unprompted and talk about how much he liked David Bodie and how much he would fit in perfectly and seamlessly with this team on the field and in the clubhouse. And I mean, Grandpa Rossi was right once again.
There's a very genuine transparency to David Bodie when you're around him.
So if we're going to close on the David Bodie notes, it's all Bodie all the time. Back-to-back Bodie with him and Rizzo to win the game and then to have the walk-off grand slam. Have you ever in your life seen a rookie accomplish such great clutch moments in a regular season in the first basically month of his professional career? Because I don't know, I've never seen anything like this, to have these crazy moments at a jam-packed stadium. I can't really think of anyone who's done the things that David Bodie has done in the last 2 weeks.
Not even close, no.
Yeah, like Schwarber was great when he first came up, but no, nothing like, there were no moments like this. It wasn't until the playoffs that he had his.
Yeah.
It does seem like a number of these Cubs guys have had big moments when they first come up. I think about Wilson Contreras going deep on his first home run,
first pitch,
about Javi Baez. But I don't know, like you're saying, that there have been multiple big moments
at Wrigley.
At Wrigley, yeah. It's hard.
And with two strikes. I mean, an 0-2 pitch against Arizona, and then you know on Monday or Sunday night, 2-2 pitch, and that wasn't a bad pitch. That was below the zone. It might not have even been called a strike if he didn't swing at it. It was crazy.
He's not afraid of the big moments, that's for sure.
A weird two-game series is coming up with the Brewers coming to town. Cubs have 5 games in hand in the loss column. St. Louis might be more of a factor by the end of this series. Are you more concerned, Tony, as we come to a close here, are you more concerned about the Brewers, the Cardinals, or the Pirates, or is this just the Cubs start to pulling away?
It could definitely be the start, and I don't mean to do a cop-out, but I'm more concerned about John Lester and these other guys with injuries. I think the Cubs clearly have the best roster and the most experienced roster. If they get Lester back in form, obviously we see what Hamels is doing, and then they start getting some of those 4 injured guys back. It doesn't really matter what the Brewers or Cardinals or Pirates do, because the Cubs should start running away with it. But if those are still question marks, then yeah, I mean, the Cubs are going to let them hang around until, you know, who knows, the last week of the season maybe even.
I was thinking the same thing as Tony. It sounds like a total cop-out to use a Joe Maddon line, but really Cubs fans should be worried about the Cubs.
There's
really no one else to be worried about. I think, like he said, they're the best team. They just, they have got to play like it and pitch like it. And they.
Final takeaway from the weekend for you.
Well, I was actually going to tag on to this. As someone who is married to a Cardinals fan, there's every Cardinals game is on in my house.
Oh my
I
goodness.
Will say, lately they have been playing a lot better, and Matt Carpenter has been on a different planet right now. So when that game was in the 8th inning, the Cardinals had already swept away the Royals. I was getting nervous. I was sweating some Cardinals sweat. But Bodie luckily put that away.
Ever since making the change to their bullpen and going younger, it's been incredible what's come, what's happened.
And
what
the
is
manager
also,
change.
I don't know if
they
Cubs fans will find
the idiot
it.
And everything got
I don't
better.
Know if the Cubs fans will find this interesting, but you know, Dexter Fowler has not been in that lineup now for nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we hear about all the chemistry that goes on within the clubhouse and whether he's been happy or not happy. We know what happened with the general manager there. It's an interesting scenario in St. Louis right now, but that is a group with a couple of veterans who know how to win and expect to win. And while they may not have the best team, they're not afraid to battle all the way till the end.
Well, for 20 minutes, we didn't mention Yu Darvish's name once.
Oh, should we talk about him?
We'll save that to the we'll save that to the next Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. For Tony and Drackey, Kelly Krall, Matt Buckman, I'm John Graff. Enjoy Cubs versus Brewers right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Have a great week.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.